read a story of an industrialist and a fisherman. By a lake, this fisherman was just sitting on his boat, taking a break, resting. This industrialist approached him and said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, "What do you think? I'm just here, man, taking it easy." He said, "You're a fisherman, right?" He said, "Yes." "But why don't you just fish? I mean, go fishing." "But I don't want to." "Why not?" The industrialist said, "Why not? I mean, you should go get fish because, you know, you sell the fish and you can buy better nets." "Oh, no, that's all right." "I mean, how lazy can you be?" The industrialist is really getting agitated because, like, you should go out into the water fishing, and with the money you make, you can get better boats and you know, and produce and earn more money. And, you know, why aren't you doing that?" "It's okay," the fisherman said. The industrialist cannot fathom why he's just want to hang out today. Then finally, the industrialist said, you don't get it. You don't get it, fisherman. You see, with the money you get, you can start a fleet. You can start like a company of fishermen. Then at the end, you retire and you'll be just taking it easy." And the fisherman said, "But what do you think I'm doing right now? I'm just taking it easy right here." You see, we have this issue about contentment in life. You know, Webster defines contentment as happy, satisfied, gratified, or pleased. Now, we know some people think that in order for you to be content or happy in life, you had to have a lot of stuff. You had to have better stuff. I remember when we used to watch TV with the VHS. Some of us had it, remember? And then I remember vividly when the DVD came out, and I'm talking to a friend, and I said, "Is the picture really better than..." And then he said, "You had no idea." You know, and so it's so like, "We got to get a DVD." You know, someone's like, "We're not content. And now we got Blu-ray." And you know, it's like, and you have to... People on Black Friday, they want to be in lines because they want to get better things. And you remember when we used to change TV right there, you know, and now we got the comfort of, you got a remote, you push the button. It's like, you know, I mean, awesome. I mean, that's technology, and we're grateful for that. But sometimes we never going to be content because we want it better. You know, my phone is not, it's taking too long. I want to upgrade it. And there's always upgrades. It's almost we deal with this issue of content. We're not content with what we have. You know, we struggle with discontentment even in our homes, in our jobs, in our churches. People are not content. You know, in our own marriages, discontent, it's right there. People, you know, people struggle being content. Now, the root of all that, really, the root of discontentment is our sinful nature. Because everything is there. You know, we're never going to be content. Benjamin Franklin put it this way. He says, "To the discontented man, no chair is ever easy." They're never going to be content with what they have. And it's just like we struggle, you know, because we want better things. And, you know, in our society, the message that we hear loud and clear is you want to be content in life, you have to have better vacations, you have to have better jobs, you have to get a promotion, then you'll be content. But you have to have better and more things in life. And apparently when we get those things, we'll be happy. But the news is we won't. Because that thing, the root of all that problem lies within ourselves. We're never going to be content until we really find the secret to contentment. Now, it's interesting. Even I think it might be an oxymoron to the man that can teach us about contentment wrote to us from a prison cell. How can you talk about being happy and satisfied when you are in jail? Most of us be praying, "Lord, get me out of here. Why is this thing happening?" Nevertheless, this man that can teach you and I about contentment, he wrote from a prison cell waiting his execution. And he said that he learned the secret to be content. I wanna learn that secret. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to a church in Philippi, the province of Macedonia. And he's thanking them because as a church, that church was planted by the Apostle Paul, and in his life, in his ministry, he went through a lot of places. Like, he talks about running this race for God, and he went through a lot of issues and tribulation. And this church stood by Paul through thick and thin. And they sent him money and help because he needed some help. And Paul, out of all the churches he's planted, he writes this letter to this church to say, "Thank you. because you've always been concerned about me. And you show your concern when you have the opportunity. And through that letter, he takes the opportunity or the chance to tell them how he found contentment. And mind you, he's in prison. Are you crazy? How are you going to talk about being happy when you're in a jail for a crime you did not commit? I mean, that, yes, we think Paul was crazy. And in those days, people even thought that he was crazy because he said one time, I want to be crazy for the Lord. It's for your sake that I could be sane, but if you call me crazy, if it's for the Lord, I'm cool with that. He even said it when his apostleship was attacked. Like I said, I mean, that goes against our culture. To be content, satisfied, happy, in prison. That just doesn't make sense. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the letter that he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4. And one of the first things that we learn about contentment, it's not something that you pursue. You know, like in America, we have the pursuit of happiness because apparently people think that it's something that you pursue. And I don't know, but I mean, people get a lot of money, I mean, and then all of a sudden they're still not happy. Or they get fame. And you interview them, they seem not happy. So money didn't do it, fame, those people that drugs, a lot of women, none of that stuff is bringing happiness. So why do you call it a pursuit? I mean, there's even a movie where Will Smith is all the pursuit of happiness. Newsflash, you cannot pursue happiness. Happiness is something you pursue. It's something that you learn. It's something within you. If you choose to learn it. So the same idea of contentment. You cannot pursue it. Now you can choose to learn it. So contentment is really a choice. Just like love is a choice. Faith. Those things are choices that we have to make. Let's just go to Philippians. And thanks Jared for helping me out there. Philippians chapter 4. I would encourage you sometimes to read the whole letter. It's beautiful. How he's grateful for that church in Philippi. And this is Paul. Remember, the context, he's writing from a prison cell. Listen to what he said. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly. I mean, it's like, really? You're rejoicing even though you're in a dungeon right now? See, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at least you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him, that's Christ, who gives me strength. That's the context. We memorize that verse, and sometimes we don't realize the context, how He wrote that verse. He wasn't preaching when he said that. He was bound with chains writing that letter to the church in Philippi. The first things we learn about contentment, like I said, is that it's a choice you have to make. Happiness, satisfied. You choose to be satisfied. He said it. When he said, I rejoice that you have renewed your concern for me. Yes, you didn't have the chance to do it, but when you did it. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You see, when people go on mission trip, sometimes you hear stories that mission trips tend to change people's perspective. When they go and they see how poor people can be happy with nothing, I mean, you know, they come back, it's like, how is it that they don't even have a third of what we have in America and they seem happier than we are? And people, when they come back from those mission trips, their lives are changed because they cannot fathom. They don't even have a bed. You go to churches and they got concrete blocks with a piece of wood and they sit down because they don't argue about whether we have pews or benches or chairs. And it's like, how can you be content in that situation? Because they learned it. So when you go on those mission trips, Haiti, Africa, and so many other places in the world, and you see how people live happily and they don't even have a color TV or refrigerator, it's like, how can you do it? And this is exactly what Paul is talking to us about. He said he learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I mean, that's a lot for us to swallow and to learn. How can we be content whatever comes our way? And he gives us some details as to what the circumstances that he experienced were. He says, I'm not saying this, verse 11, because I am in need. I mean, you can say, yes, you are in need. You are in jail, man. But he said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, because I learned, he said, to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be well fed. Now, verse twice, Paul says, I have learned. Verse 11, I have learned to be content. And verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content. So you see, contentment is something that you have to learn. And yes, people can talk about it, but only you can decide, only you can choose to learn it or not. The whole idea of happiness, only you can be happy with having little or having much. Only you can be the one learning that. And he said it, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. You see, Paul said he didn't care about the circumstances. He learned to be content whether he had much or whether he had little. He was in hunger, whether he had money or not. Now, you see, this attitude goes against our culture. It's counterculture. The whole idea, like, I'm going to be content with what I have. I'm going to be happy just because maybe I don't have a lot of money, or maybe I don't have a lot of things. I just can't eat mac and cheese and cereal, but I'm going to be content. Instead of like, say, Lord, but what? I mean, that's hard when you think about to be able to learn to be content with the few things you have. Even when somebody fire you from that job and you say, you know, you allow that, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. Maybe you have a better one for me. I'm just going to be content. I mean, and again, nobody can teach you that. You and I had to be able to learn it, like Paul said. He said, and remember, his circumstances, I mean, life took him to many places. He was mistreated by his own peers. I mean, he dealt with a lot of things. And for that man to teach us and say, I have learned to be content whatever I face in this life, that's just out of this world. That just doesn't make sense. But he did. I just want to show you a couple of the things that he went through. And this is just a little list. He did not include everything he went through in this life. In 2 Corinthians, for some of you who take notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 3 through 10. 2 Corinthians 6, he says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Then he goes, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, and understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God. Then he goes, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known and yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, really, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. I mean, when you read that, don't you think that just doesn't make sense? That's just against our world, our culture, even how we pray, that just doesn't go. We cannot even apply it because we know that we're not to that point yet. We have not learned to be content like this man has. I mean, you got beaten up. I mean, he did not even mention he got beat by a snake one time too. And he got shipwrecked. He almost died in the ocean. You know, and then ultimately he got beheaded for the name of Jesus Christ. And for him to say, I learned to be content whatever my circumstances. Did you just read? Do you realize the list of the circumstances he went through? But notice that he mentioned a couple of nice ones. Patience. Impatience. You know, I can do it. And, you know, sleepless nights. Yes, hunger, purity, understanding, kindness. You know, in glory and dishonor. That sounds a lot like the marriage vows people take. I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. And sometimes, yeah, my life might be more about the thick area or the troubles rather than the glory, but still we're going to be there. We're going to make it. And this man went through all that and still says, I have learned to be happy with whatever comes my way. I have learned the secret of being content, whatever my situation. Despite all these things, he said, I can be satisfied. Why? What was your secret, Paul? Verse 13 is the clue. I mean, when you read verse 13, he says, I can do all these things and more through Christ who gives me strength. You know, the secret to contentment really is Jesus. It's knowing Jesus the way Paul knew him. Now, he knew, okay, he's allowing those things to happen, but he still has a plan, even though when I do not know how he's going to unfold it. But I'm going to trust you and I'm going to be content because you brought those things into my path and you can get me out anytime you want. I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me. You see, contentment is learned through knowing God more intimately. Paul knew God and his desire was almost, he always said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. He's always was about knowing Jesus. He knew the Lord. And he knew the Lord's power. Now, yes, I'm in prison right now, but if he wants, he can get me out anytime so I can continue preaching. Yes, I'm going through hardships. My best friends, they deserted me. But yes, the Lord allowed that. I'm gonna continue moving on. I'm going to be content, whatever the circumstance that I go through in this life. See, because Paul knew the Lord so much, that's why he could face trials and be cool in the midst of the storm, like the song we sang today. That when you know Jesus that much, that's why you can realize whatever I'm facing is not big enough. It's not as big as my God. You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, whatever issue it is that I'm going through, I have a bigger God than that issue. Sicknesses, whatever it is we face, church, our God is. I mean, don't we sing that our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. But maybe we just sing it because we like the song, not because we truly believe that. And sometimes that's the problem we have in our Christianity, that like DJ reminded us, I mean, yes, it's okay to ask questions, but is your faith just like an anthem? We believe in God, but let our faith be more than anthems. I can bring a whole lot of songs that we sing and apply to the scripture right here. But you know, it's like, I mean, they had to be more than anthems. People had to see it because how we believe it. You know, our God is greater than anything that we can possibly face in this life. And he can change the situation. I always says, when God doesn't change the situation that you're in, then he will change your perspective. He will change how you look at the situation. So you, like Paul says, I'm going to be content. Whatever the situation, I have learned to be content, whatever it is that comes my way. Hardships, sleepless nights, you know, imprisonment, riots, tribulations, difficulty. I'm going to be content, Lord, because I trust you. You have the power to do whatever you want to do. And remember the disciples when they were going with Jesus on the boat. They didn't know Jesus that much at the beginning of that story. And this is a storm. And the fishermen, they're panicking. Now, you got to understand, you're going on a boat with fishermen, and they're the ones panicking. Imagine what that's going to do to you, because they're the ones who know how to navigate in the ocean. And they're like, we're going to die. Where's Jesus? And Jesus is sleeping on the boat. Somebody wake up Jesus. And then they come, like, how can you sleep when you see what's going on? Sometimes we want to ask God that the same question. Jesus, don't you realize the apostles came? We're about to die. Jesus gets up like, okay. And then he says, be still. You know, now the disciples are more afraid of what Jesus did than they were afraid of the boat when you read the story. They were asking, who is this? Like even the waves and the seas, he commands and they obey him. Who is this? That's Jesus. But you didn't know he can do that, do you? And sometimes that's what's going to happen through the tribulations you go through. When you get to know God, you can trust him. I guarantee you, from that moment on, the disciples will go with Jesus anywhere because he has control over nature. So my God is more powerful than whatever it is we're dealing with. And that's what Paul understood in him saying, I can rejoice even when I'm in a prison cell because all the people are receiving the gospel and I'm glad. And I can rejoice because God brought me here and it's God's plan. Lord, your will be done. He said, I have learned this secret to be content whatever situation I'm in this life. And the secret is I can do all these things that come, that life throws at me, that Satan wants to throw at me. I can do all those things because I have the strength, and that's Jesus Christ within me. When Jesus Christ is the center of your life, man, you find that key. You find that contentment. You find that you can be happy having a lot or having little. That you can be happy no matter what you have, whether you're well-fed or you're naked. I mean, you'll be content in life. So I would suggest a definition for contentment. Contentment is the inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God and knowing God, knowing that He's ultimately the one in control. You are at peace when you say, well, I'm going to be at peace because ultimately He's in control. That's what Jesus said in John. He says, my peace the world does not understand. The peace is not the absence of war. I'm going to give you peace in the middle of war. I'm going to give you peace that transcends our human understanding. You're going to be at peace even when you have trouble. And that's really when you find that contentment, because, you know, that's really the inner sense. You see something that is within you when you find rest. David says, find rest, my soul. I mean, he also can teach us about contentment because he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He guides me by still water. He restores my soul. And yet, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. So bring it. I mean, really, that's Paul and David can just, well, it was like, bring adversity. I'm going to go through the Lord. In the eye of the storm, I'm going to go with Him and I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be at peace. Navigating through the difficulties of this life. Contentment is inner joy that doesn't depend on your situation, but depends on your relationship with God. I love the definition. Contentment is inner joy that doesn't depend on the situation, because the situation, depending on the situation, some people might not have the joy. So you're going to be joyous no matter what. Contentment is that inner joy that doesn't depend on the situation, but depends on your relationship with God. Because the more that you know God, the more that you will trust Him with your own life. And then you won't be afraid. When we are fearful as Christians' lives, because there's something still that we have not known about this God that we worship. When you know Him that intimately, then you're going to truly find contentment in your life. And your faith is going to grow. You see, when you know that God is supreme, sovereign over all things, you learn to trust Him in everything, even when you face the trials. This is when you get to learn contentment. You learn this perspective that you already have in you, but it needs to be developed. You learn this inner peace that only Christ can give you and I. You will also experience joy, like I said, which does not depend on the situation that you live in. Paul can say all that because he knew in whom he believed. He knew Jesus that much. And he said, I can do all things. Yet, I learned the secret to be content no matter the circumstances. I can do all things through Christ, who is the one strengthening me, who is the one putting me together so that the situation doesn't grab me and just destroy me. Is Jesus really the glue, the rebar of our body that's keeping me together so that situation doesn't destroy me, so that I can still be saying, Lord, I will praise you. Job can teach us about contentment because he lost everything. And at the end, he says, the Lord has given it to me. The Lord has taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I always want to say, Lord, may I say that to you. May I find that also. That no matter what I go through in this life, I still say, you are my God. Blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's contentment. Paul said, like I said, he can do all things through Christ. Christ is what kept him going. Kept him at peace in the middle of struggles that he experienced. He learned to be satisfied with whatever came his way. He understood God was in control no matter what. And we preach and we talk about, like, you know, he's in control. And yes, sometimes, like, but why does he allow certain things? I mean, I want to ask Paul, why did he? You were the greatest preacher I've after Jesus. Why did God allow you to go to prison? I mean, some of the things that we want to ask God and we don't understand. I mean, you did so much. You planted so many churches. You were the greatest. If you were to label the apostle, he was the greatest of the apostles. And yet, he got mistreated by people. And he went through that. And then all through that circumstances, because sometimes you learn contentment through the situation and through knowing Jesus. But through all those situations he lived, he experienced, he says, I can do all things through Christ. I've been dealing with Christ so much that, yeah, whatever comes my way, I'm confident in his love for me. I'm confident that I'm going to be able to come out of that situation victorious for his glory. You are overcomers. You are overcomers, man. Jesus said. That song, Christ is enough for me. I mean, that's so true. Paul said it. Now, Reuben Morgan, the guy who wrote the song Still, he has a phrase in the song that says, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know that you are God. That's contentment. He goes, you know, when that thing is roaring, I'm still going to be cool because I know who holds my life and he holds my future. Father, you are king over all the floods, whatever storms I'm facing. I will be still and know you are God. David said, if my father and mother deserted me, the Lord will take me. He said, and if I have enemies surrounding me, the Lord said, be still and know that I am Yahweh. And sometimes we gotta hear those words from the Lord for us to find contentment. That yes, that's when you get to know God, that you can say, I can go, I can be still, I can navigate this. Yes, it's a struggle, but my God is bigger. I'm gonna keep on moving. I'm gonna continue running my race because I can do all things through the one who lives in me, through the one who strengthens me. And that's when, my brothers and sisters, truly we find the secret to being content in this life. Contentment is learned when you and I rely upon the power of Christ to overcome any situation in this life. Paul knew it. And even though he felt weak, I love when he says, when I'm weak, then I realize that's really when I'm strong. And I will rejoice in my weakness, he said, because then that's when I find to understand, I finally comprehend that when I'm weak, I'm strong because what I have living in me. That's in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Now, how content are you in this life today? How content are you right now? Maybe you too need to learn the secret to be content in spite of the situation. It doesn't depend on the situation, but depends on your relationship with God, that he will hold you together. And if we believe what he says that he will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what we go through in this life, that he's going to go with us, that he's going to hold us together. That's what Paul says in Colossians. You know, and in him, all things hold together. It's like the laminin, the protein molecules, that's those things when you cut yourself, you don't bleed to death. We have that also around our bodies, laminin. And it's like the rebar. You said when they're doing construction, you do a bridge, you don't get rebar, that a little earthquake, you're done. That's the skeleton that's holding you so that the situation you live in doesn't destroy you, doesn't just, you don't run around like, well, I don't know what to do. But you have a God that knows. And you say, I will be still and know through this situation that you are God. My mom had to do it. My dad had to learn it too. And the nurse did not understand what he was talking about. My dad said, the God I worship is bigger. And the nurse goes, don't you realize your son is dying over there? He's bleeding to death. My dad could not understand. My dad said, he's going to be okay. And she's like, how stupid can you be? Like, really? And then my dad said, you need to drink what I drink. And it wasn't Gatorade. My dad was talking about, you need to have what I have. Because Jesus holds me together even when my son is dying in a hospital bed. He's holding me together. My son is in Chicago today, singing. You know, but my dad told the nurse, you see, God does not operate like that. He provided the doctors to do the surgery. He provided the money. We didn't have money for that type of surgery. It's called scoliosis surgery. He provided everything. So if God provided all those things, he's not going to let the guy die. God doesn't work like that. How did he know that? Because his time that he invested knowing God, You know, he got kicked out of a Methodist church one time, and because that happened, I'm here today. You see, we can do all things through Christ. Because he's the one strengthening us. He allows those difficulties to grow our faith, to develop us into the men and women that we need to become for the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, when you go through the trials right now, and probably you are going through, don't throw the towel yet. Your God is bigger. And yes, you don't see the light through the tunnel, but Paul says, I rejoice. I can still pray because I know that rejoice comes because the God, the strength that's provided through me to navigate any difficulty, any situation in this life. We can do all things through Christ. Contentment is the inner joy, peace that comes from knowing God, knowing that He is in control, no matter the situation that I'm facing right now. When we learn contentment, we can then say, like Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ because He's the one giving me the strength. So you haven't found that secret. It's Jesus. I mean, the writers are, the song Jesus is the answer, they were not playing. He is still the answer. And even for us to understand what it means to be happy, not having much, what it means to be content, no matter the situation.